been talking to some folks about all the different ways we bring our praise to God, and some things we grew up with that reminded us that we are that God is here. And one of the songs that popped into my mind in these conversations this week has been one that also fits in nicely with our scripture reading for today. Come, let us sing of a wonderful love. And you can stay seated for this. As seekers, none of us have it all figured out, and so we ask for God to abide, to dwell, to live in this moment, in this time that we share together. So I invite you to open yourself, to take a deep breath, to be fully present, to perhaps let go of some things that are kind of scratching at your brain to not forget, or trust that this time will be marked by God, and you will pick up your life from there at the end of this time. But for now, to just take a deep breath and be here, be present. And as we see the symbols of our faith coming forward, I'd invite you to stand and greet the light of Christ when the time comes, and we'll sing together.
Thank you.
Friends, welcome to this place and time together. We come as we are, with all kinds of life experiences and for all kinds of reasons. In this time together, may God shed the light of grace upon us. May God ease the frantic, swollen pride we so often carry. Soften calluses that may have grown in our lives. Straighten out any crippling illusions that entangle us. Liberate us into a deep communion with our Creator, with ourselves, with the marvelous community of Earth. Amen. Please be seated.
Folks, it's time for us to gather ourselves as a body. We've been talking a little bit about spiritual gifts and the body of Christ and the many parts and each one of us brings a piece of the giftedness of the whole. We also bring, the body has receptors that pick up what's going on around it, right? Just like your body has ways, has senses that picks up what's going on around it. And the body has a heart and a mind together. So we as a community, as a body, have picked up things this week. Things that have, perhaps, that sit heavy on our hearts. Things that we long for. And now is the time to collect those up and just place them before God in prayer. So I don't know whether there is a person or a situation that you're carrying with you that you would simply like to offer to God, as we open to the influence of God in this place. But I would invite you, if there's anything you'd like to offer to this prayer time, a name, a situation, now would be a good time to do that. Chris, you're thinking of someone? Okay. So a longtime member of our congregation, Maida Rennie, has been in the hospital this week. She hopes to be home tomorrow. Yeah. Okay, yes. Yeah. So two of our elders, Maida Rennie and Peggy Cave, if we could just hold them in our prayers today. Lynn, do you have? Cindy Terry. Lynn's noticing her absence for a while here, and so we'll hold Cindy in our prayers. Any others? Yeah, Brian. That's incredible. Yeah. That's marvelous. For those of you who didn't hear all of that, Brian last year had part of his lung removed because of cancer, just this last 10 days received a clean bill of health. Lung capacity was supposed to go down by 25%. It's actually gone up by 2%. So really, really good result. Thanks.
See you.
We open ourselves in prayer. We also kind of open ourselves to the community giving us a few jabs in the ribs. Absolutely. That's marvelous. Any others? Gina. Absolutely, yeah.
And,
all right.
Yeah. And if anybody knows anybody who's getting rid of any furniture, I know myself and a few other people who are in major need of it. So
okay.
Keep that in mind.
Great. All right. Okay. Pyeongchik. You have a third baby on the way. Fabulous. Fabulous. That's great. Paul. Whose birthday is that, Paul? Got it. Your caregiver's birthday is on Wednesday.
Yeah.
What's her first name, Paul?
Awesome.
Her first name? Your caregiver's first name?
Doria.
Doria?
Yeah.
All right. We'll remember Doria in gratitude and prayer. Well, let's take some time to just recall all those other things, as Gina says, that we bring with us, and gather it all in prayer. Pray. Oh, love that will not let us go. We are grateful for the day. Grateful to be aware of glimmers and glimpses of light, the light of your grace and love today. Oh, yes, we are not always aware. We are often preoccupied. Sometimes we forget your presence and your gifts. Sometimes we get so wound up in our own thoughts that we forget. Sometimes we are willfully unaware. Sometimes we shut down. Sometimes we wonder where you are. Our very human frailty leaves us struggling to see the light. And sometimes, thanks be to you, we are wide awake. Today we would be wide awake. Today we would be grateful. For we need you.
We need your justice in this world where there is so often folks who struggle under oppression, struggle under the injustice of an economy that just grinds them, struggle under regimes that are more interested in power than peace. Oh God, we need your healing in our lives where so often there is sickness or grief or distress. Hear our prayer for all those we have named over the week, whose names we gather before us. Be with Maida and Peggy in their recoveries. Be with Cindy. We give thanks for the amazing recovery of Brian, and thanks for all that made that possible. Be with Gina in her ongoing recovery. We give thanks for Doria and her care of Paul and this milestone in her life this week. And we pray for Tammy and others who are looking for a kind of place to live that serves her life. We need, O God, your loving power to stir and grow in us, and the light of your hope to shine. Hear these and all our prayers. We are open to you now. Make this place alive with your loving grace, filled with your light and life, we pray. In the name of the one we seek to follow, who gathered disciples with him and taught them a prayer, and they taught their children and friends, and we have inherited it, the prayer that we now say together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, in this church and in the Christian faith, I have often heard in my journey of faith, why does life, if God is with us, why does life continue to be so difficult? Why are we not there yet? Why have we not achieved the peace we long for? But you know, we do not proclaim success in this church. And the Christian faith does not promise that it will be easy. There are no easy answers. But God calls us to use what we've been given to do our very best. And God does promise to never let us go, to never leave us to our own devices. This promise is not engraved on some stone or even engraved in the Bible as a forever truth. It is engraved in the hearts of people of faith for hundreds and thousands of years. And it is engraved, it is found in your heart as well, if you will look. This is a promise. And it's good news. Thanks be to God.
Behold,
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 I'm beholding to me.
Good to be in this circle again, as we do every week. I wanted to tell you a little, I wanted to give you a word. I grew up with Sesame Street. Did any of you grow up with Sesame Street? Am I just aging myself? A few of you grew up, I didn't grow up at Sesame Street. I grew up with Sesame Street. Yeah, okay, well that's good. That's a you know how sometimes in Sesame Street they give you the letter for the day is H, or the letter for the day, and they give you, oftentimes they'll give you the word for the day, right? Well, I got you a word for the day, and it's not even in English. What is it? The word is agape. Yeah, how about everybody say that? Agape. Yeah. Agape. Does anybody know what agape means? It's Greek. You could say it. It's Greek to me. It's agape, and do you know what it, anybody know what it means in English? Sorry? It means love. Exactly. It means love in Greek, and there's many different kinds of love, but there's a particular kind of love that was related to the communion table and the communion meal. They called it an agape meal or an agape feast. That's the oldest word that we have to talk about what we do around the communion table. Because they called it an agape meal or a love meal because they felt in a very particular way God's love when they ate together around the table. They felt it inside themselves, and they looked to their neighbors, and they were able to see God's love in a different way, and they were drawn together by a love that was deeply kind of tender and respectable and strong. That's what we have continued to notice for like hundreds and hundreds of years around the table, is that there's some kind of love, some kind of agape that happens around the communion table that is mysterious. We don't completely understand it, but it's there. So that's why when we gather around the table and we share the meal, and then if there's some left, we take it and we take it into the gathering area and we continue to share. But we do so with a kind of a respect and a tenderness open to that mystery, that wonderful love that's possible because we're gathered around the table. Well, I was thinking about that this week because we're having communion, and one of my favorite songs came to my mind, and I wanted, we've done it before here, but we haven't done it for a good long while, and it's based on the words that Jesus said about love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, all that you are. And it goes, I can't remember what key it's in. That's awful low.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart.
We'll go with D.
Love the Lord your God with all your soul. Love the Lord your God with all your mind. Love the Lord your God with all that you are.
I'm kind of searching for chords here. There we are. Sorry. So there's actions that go with this. This is the agape action, love. Love. And this is the Lord your God. You create an L, and it's like you've got a sash running straight across yourself. The Lord your God. With all your heart. So that is repeated. Love the Lord your God with all your. And then this is the soul one. I love this one. It's like you got a cup and there's a spirit or a something that comes out of the cup. Like that. Isn't that a cool sign? With all your soul. And then we go, love the Lord your God with all your mind, and you touch it once. If you touch it twice, it would be with all your stupid. Which is sometimes true for me, that I offer my least, my least rather than my best, but yes. And then love the Lord your God, and then you take the two L's, and you go, with all that you are, right down at the bottom.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love the Lord your God with all your soul.
Continue to sing that and move with it as you go to Children's Church. But before you do that, you have the Christ light. And do you want to take it? That would be fabulous. Do you want to go light the Christ light? We're just going to wait for a moment while you do that so that you can take the Christ light and it becomes, you know, if the light spreads, there's two places it will be alive and burning in this church. Today, it'll be burning here, it'll be burning in the Children's Church. Anna, do you want to help him with that a little? Or Kim? Yeah. So you can lead the way to Children's Church as we sing. top.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love the Lord your God with all your soul. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love the Lord your God with all that you are.
Good morning. Our scripture reading today is from 1 Corinthians, verses 1 to 13. Today's reading is probably one of the most familiar passages in Scripture, Paul's message concerning love. So familiar is this reading that we can almost lose track of its significance. Never intended to describe romantic love, the message Paul writes is to a conflicted new church in turmoil, threatening to tear itself apart. He has tried to draw them together, exploring their unity in the Spirit, but now turns to what he believes to be the force that holds us all together, love. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude, not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Will you join me in prayer? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and the actions of our lives be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Anybody have any personal stories of your own brush with greatness?
Anybody had a close encounter with some great person or event? Trina ran into Robin Williams in an elevator in Banff one time. She says,
He's just a little guy. With a very big personality, yes. I heard a story a while back of a 14-year-old kid. He's not 14-year-old anymore, but when he was 14, he happened to be invited into the room where the legendary interview with John Lennon and Yoko Ono in their bed was happening. I think it was in Toronto, Montreal. There we are. And he tells that story of his brush with greatness. And everybody has, you know, a person or a couple of people that you would really love to meet in person someday. It's not always the best idea. My daughter met Justin Trudeau a week and a half ago. She texted me afterwards. I've learned my lesson. Sometimes it's not the best idea to meet your heroes. Oh dear. Poor Jesse. Well, when I was in seminary, the work that everyone read on preaching was written by a guy, one of the great American preachers of the 20th century. His name is Fred Craddock. And he wrote this stunningly titled book, Preaching. This is a preacher. You'd think he could come up with a better name than that. But it's the publishers, really, that come up with the names. So you can't blame Fred. Well, I actually met him a while back. He was in Victoria a couple of years ago. And he's one of the great American preachers of the 20th century. But it wasn't his eloquence and his turn of phrase that really got me. But rather, it was the way that he talked about the church as a cluster of simple, struggling, ordinary human beings with an extraordinary gift within the body, the gift of kinship. Kinship. Fred told a story about being invited to another one of the great American preachers of the 20th century, William Sloan Coffin, to his church to preach, Riverside Church in New York City. This was one of the most prestigious pulpits in North America. And yet to hear Fred talk to you about being invited there, you'd think, and being invited by a legend like William Sloan Coffin, you'd think that he was talking about being invited over to sit on the couch and watch the game and have a beer. It was that kind of natural. For these two gentlemen to exchange the good news came as easily and as naturally as you and I would exchange the daily news. Coffin was away for the weekend, and he'd invited Craddock to come and preach at Riverside Church and stay in his little flat. And Craddock arrived, walked through the door. Coffin wasn't there. He'd been let in. And there was a piece of paper on the floor that had an arrow pointing down the hall and the word bedroom on it. Place was a mess. There was another piece of paper on the floor with an arrow that said bathroom. Another piece of paper down the hall with an arrow on it that said kitchen. And then when you walk into the kitchen, there was a sign, hand-done sign on the fridge door, and it read, Fred, you will find no food behind this door, but if you want breakfast, go join the breakfast at the church. The story is longer and more involved than that, but the enduring impression that I received during this story was of two men having become great preachers in America who remained
simple human beings in each other's eyes. Simple, fallible human beings with messy apartments and empty fridges. The community of Christ includes remarkable human beings. The church here at Northwood includes remarkable human beings, filled with people with amazing gifts and talents and stories and lives. And at the same time, every single one of us wakes up in the morning, goes to bed at night, utterly the same, simply human beings, born in vulnerability. We breathe the same air. Ultimately, we lay our head on the pillow at night and close our eyes to sleep, and no matter who we are, we rest in the hands of God, no matter who we are. This is the source of our deepest kinship with one another that is actually divinely forged. And it's that deep kinship that Paul is appealing to in the church in Corinth, because they've lost track of it. I love reading 1 Corinthians because it's such a human document. And you can see Paul walking right on the edge of frustration with this fractious bunch of... And you'll see it in 1 Corinthians 13, that great hymn of love. You can still hear in it underneath it all. The first chapter of Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he says, "I've heard tell that there are divisions among you, disagreements in the community." And these folks argue over a dazzling array of issues, from communion and how it ought to be celebrated, to sexuality, from money to who should be allowed to do what functions in the life of the church. I mean, it would appear that they had utterly lost track of what Fred Craddock and Bill Coffin, in their greatness, have not lost track of. Their basic, ultimate, vulnerable, naked humanity before God. And having tried to remind them of the variety of gifts and trying to remind them of that humanity in a variety of ways, Paul then turns to what he calls the still more excellent way. Because he's talked about the many gifts. People have ecstatic gifts of tongues and of prophecy and of knowledge and of all kinds of things. And they're hanging on to those gifts as if that gives them a ticket. And so he says, "Though I may speak with the tongues of mortals and of angels, but I have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Though I may have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that I can move mountains, but I have not love, I'm nothing." And if I am so generous, if I give everything I have away, if I give my very body so that I may feel good about myself, but I don't do it in love, it's worthless offering. And then he goes, "Love is patient, love is kind. It is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It isn't irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing, but it rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It never ends. As for those prophecies that you feel so proud of, they're going to come to an end. As for tongues, they'll cease. As for knowledge, comes and goes. For we know only in part. We prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, all this partial stuff that we feel so proud of in this moment is going to be gone. We see dimly a reflection in a mirror. Then we will see face to face. We know only in part, but then we shall know completely, even as we have been completely known. So, in all these gifts, faith, hope, love, abide, let them abide. And the greatest is that bond that holds you together. It's the very foundation of life, of every relationship, every community, of anything that lasts, is that love that forges the deep connection that we can have with one another and in this body here. Everything else is dross, is chaff, blown away by the winds of adversity. It's not going to last yet. But that deeper kinship, that's the stuff that transcends differences and lasts forever. So here's the call. It's a call to Christian community, and by that, I mean it's a call to a quality of kinship that is deep and universal. So it's big, but it can be experienced right here, right now. It's a quality of humble love that's only possible when we know deep in our hearts that we are just another human being on this journey of life. A life given to us by God, a relatively short one on this earth. So while we're here, we'd better be real. We've only got so much time, and God only knows how much that might be. So what we've got is this moment, which is all the time we know, and so we'd better make it count. And what are we going to make it count for? Well, there's only one thing that lasts anyway. I remember lying on what felt like a slab of cement, but was actually a emergency room gurney when my appendix was trying to explode on me, and feeling the pain of that and feeling absolutely wretched, pain, nausea. And I was wearing one of those wonderful hospital gowns, right? That requires constant attention if you're going to remain have any dignity at all the time. And in that moment, I did not care. I mean, there were a lot of things I didn't care about in that moment. And you know, there's something quite freeing about that, in an odd sort of way. It's all dross. All that stuff doesn't matter.
everything we use to prop up our own pride. It just really doesn't matter. I'm sitting in the lobby of my grandmother's, the facility that she had moved into for the sixth move in six consecutive years. And I'm waiting for her to come down for supper. She had invited me over for supper in the dining room in her care facility. And as I sat there and watched, I saw Ben moving across from the elevator to his table, pushing one of those aluminum walkers with the wheels on the front and the pads on the back. So you got to go lift, push, stop, step, lift, push, stop. You know, the walk that we're talking about. This man, Ben, you wouldn't know that this was an Alcan vice president for most of his career, making his way across the floor to his table, only to be greeted by an angel of mercy who moved his chair a little bit so he could sit down and have his meal. Who did that with a smile, opening up vulnerable eyes to a vulnerable human being as he sat down, and I could see Margaret, having come out of the smoking room, also moving toward the dining room, her feet propelling her wheelchair along across the floor, getting hooked up by the edge of the carpet so that someone had to kind of give her a little jostle to get her over that little bump to get to the dining room. She was one of those people who had spent most of her life on the prairie, growing up in Prairie Depression time. She looked radiant because it was Tuesday, and Tuesday was the day you got your hair done, and she looked like $1 million. And the look on her face, I mean, she grew up in Dust Bowl Prairie. Having your hair done by somebody else was something that Queen Elizabeth had done. She was getting it done every week. Sometimes I find it easier to see the bare humanity in these other people than I do in someone I know so well, but there was my grandma emerging from behind a little budgie cage, this little woman making her way through this final phase in her life. You know what that's like when you can see the bare humanity in other people, but with somebody you've got a lot of history with, it's a little harder to see, but there she was. Just like the rest, and indeed just like me, and just like you, just bare humanity. And there's something incredibly freeing about that. We're down to the essentials here, and the only essential in any given moment is that deeper kinship, divinely forged in our hearts and in our humanity. At that stage, that's all we've got, but in fact, that's all we've ever had. All else will come and go. When we know this, truly know it, then we know the gift that we all have, and we are free. Amen.